Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Feel like you're stuck in career limbo? Clock in, clock out, repeat. No growth, no new opportunities. It's time to break out and break into tech. With CBT Nuggets, you can start building the IT skills that companies are hiring for right now. We make training fast, simple, and practical. From networking to cybersecurity, you'll get short, easy-to-watch videos and hands-on virtual labs so you can build real-world skills without expensive gear or complicated setups. For just $59 a month, you get unlimited access to our full training library. That includes certifications, skill-based learning, and practice exams, a $100 value included free. Learn anytime, anywhere, and get job ready on your terms. Thousands have used CBT Nuggets to launch new careers, and you can too. Right now, CBT Nuggets is offering a free trial. Easily find the training you need and test it out with no commitment. Start your 7-day free trial now at cbtnuggets.com. Don't wait. A better job is just a few clicks away.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news now on the United Stands as Amorim comes out and defends himself against the onslaught of, you know, blame, which I just don't understand. We'll talk about what he said about the summer, the Europa League and everything else. Also, the latest on Cunha, on a new striker, on a goalkeeper, and of course, a lot more. How are you feeling this morning? Because I tell you what, I think I sort of did the match reaction yesterday, saw it for what it was, had a lovely lamb dinner, lovely bottle of red wine, watched The Greatest Showman, had a really good evening, and just switched off. I'm still actually, you know, shoot me down for positivity. I'm still very happy about Thursday night. I don't really acknowledge yesterday because I'm a realist. People talk about standards. We can talk about that. I think we got infiltrated by a lot of rivals yesterday as well. I think a lot of rival fans were coming in laughing at us because of how we celebrated on Thursday. But I don't care. I don't really care about that. Let's get into what Ruben Amorim had to say after the game. Also, we're going to talk about Cunha at the start of the show as well. But let's start off with where we're at. Also, I mean, you know what? Not the best journalist in the world, is he, the guy on the Manchester Evening News? But he's come out this morning saying Man United's priority is a striker. I mean, God, give him the bloody award for best journalist in the world. I mean, what? What? I can't believe it. A priority is a striker? What? What are you going to link us to? Osimhen, Sesko, Delap? I mean, mate, what, you been in a bloody coma? Oh, Bank Holiday Monday, we're being linked to a striker as a priority. No shit, Sherlock. Bloody hell. Tell you what. Good job Columbo's dead. You'd have his job. Anyway, look, this is what Ruben had to say after the game yesterday. And I think it's absolutely spot on. Basically said this. Manchester United, we have to look at everything. This is Amorim after the game yesterday. We've got to look at everything. Our squad and what we need to improve. The opportunities we have on the market. We have everything under discussion at the moment. We've talked about the financial situation. We talk about every day about next season. So we're doing everything within time. We will get the effort we need to improve the team. I mean, this is Ruben Amorim basically saying we've got to improve. We've got to bring better players in. And we need to do it this summer. Absolutely. So I think in the first instance, this has to happen. We have to do this. And it makes me laugh, actually, because there's a few things I want to sort of dissect there, talk about potential transfers, what's going on this morning, and get your thoughts as well. But I actually saw an article this morning that said, have Man United improved under Manchester United? To which my instant answer was, who gives a shit? Like, is now the time to... I mean, I think this is the problem with modern football analysis. Have Man United improved under Ruben Amorim? Like, why does it matter in April? Like, he's not had his pre-season and he's not had a transfer window. So, you know, improvement. I go back to the chef who's been brought in to cook a recipe, a signature dish without the ingredients. Oh, is the kitchen tidier? Can we just cook the dish first? Can we give him the ingredients and then we'll judge? Yeah, let's judge the chef on why we've employed him and we haven't given him the ingredients yet. I don't massively care on whether we've improved or not in the last 5 months because I don't feel like the job started yet. We are absolutely awful in the Premier League and this is Ten Hag's team. I can see signs of improvement in relation to unity and system, but realistically, the Premier League is an absolute embarrassment and the Europa League were unbeaten. So I just think we've got to survive to the summer, win the Europa League and then park this season like we parked last season because we won the FA Cup. I don't think we're learning anything from this. I think what happened is Ineos messed up. So Jim Radcliffe messed up. They spent a lot of money on Ten Hag. They probably sacked him too quick. I mean, who gives a guy 300 million and then sacks him after 2 months? I mean, that was just stupidity. You either back or you sack in the summer. They backed, then they sacked 2 months in. You then bring a manager in with a completely different style of play in the middle of the season who doesn't really want the job until the summer, but you threaten him and say it's now or never. You then don't do anything in the January transfer window. In fact, you weaken the team because you get rid of Rashford and Anthony, but you don't replace them. I sort of think the recipe for where we are doesn't sit with the manager. It sits with the people in charge. And ultimately, this summer is going to be massive. And I think that's what Ruben Amorim was saying. It will come down to the summer. We're very fortunate that we've got this Europa League there and we're unbeaten in the Europa League, but we've been a bit lucky there. But in the Premier League, we're bloody awful and we will lose again. And I just want to say this. I want to get into some of the comments from yesterday, of course, but why are some people hypocrites? Like, we can all be hypocrites, but I specifically remember after winning against Lyon, play the kids against Wolves. It doesn't matter. We lose to Wolves. Oh, hammer him out. Yeah, but it's not acceptable. No. And I'm like, I saw it literally 2 days ago. People were saying, doesn't matter against Wolves. It's all about the Europa League. You lose to Wolves. Oh, it does matter. Standards are on the floor. Hold on a minute. Here's a simple equation for you if you're still frustrated about yesterday. You can choose to beat Lyon or you can choose to beat Wolves. I want both. You're an idiot. That's not realistic, is it? I want both, but that's not who we are. We're shit this season. So you can have one or the other because we're not good enough to do both. So you put all your eggs in the basket of beating Lyon or you put all your eggs in the basket of beating Wolves. Lyon every single time. Maybe I'm unique. Maybe people who agree with me are unique. But I'm realistic. We've lost 15 Premier League games. We are dog shit in the Premier League. I am not expecting Man United to beat Lyon and Wolves in the space of 3 days with that squad. So I'll choose one. And I chose Lyon. I'm not that bothered about Wolves. I'm really not. And actually, I think we played better against Wolves than we did against Lyon. We certainly defended better, but it doesn't. I don't massively care. We've still got to play Brentford and Bournemouth away. We've got to play Chelsea away. We've got to play Villa at home. We've got to play West Ham. We could lose another four games. Easily lose another four games. But if we win the Europa League, I don't really see it mattering. I really don't. But, you know, that's down to others. Let me talk to you about, I'll come back to some of that stuff because I thought there were some interesting comments from yesterday as well. Also about Onana. Because the big thing is that we do need to bring players in. Are they going to bring players in? Because if they don't, more of the same next season. I understand standards, but we don't set the standards. You don't set the standards of this football club. I don't set the standards of this football club. We can moan about the standards we want. We don't set the standards. You can say, well, Man United, we should be winning the league every year. We haven't won the league in 12 years. You can say, well, Man United should be in the top four. How often are we in the top four in the last 12 years? You don't set the standards. I don't set the standards. The standards are the reality. And the standards of this football club are not that of the standards we hold dear. We're Manchester United in name. We're Everton in reality. And people talk, somebody actually said Man United getting beat by a bad Wolves side. What? What, Wolves who've won five in a row in the Premier League? Oh, it's a bad Wolves side, is it now? Oh, Mark says it's their reserves. Last time I checked, Lindelof and Eriksen were like playing with nine men. Last time I checked, Amas and Fredriksen were kids. That's four out of the 11 already. So that was not anywhere near our best team. And even the players that played had played on Thursday night. But, you know, apparently Wolves are shit. Apparently it was our first team. was something else as well somebody said as well. I can't remember what it was. I'll have to come back and find it. But yeah, look, let me talk about Cunha because I think there are some positives. Keith says, Amrim out of those flipping hoodies. And Shotgun Justice says, will you be in the running for the next Pope? Will you be blessing Man United if you get the role? Oh, some people are upset. Oh, well, God bless and rest peace. Rest in peace, Pope Francis, says Garfield. Yeah, that's breaking news this morning, isn't it? I want to talk about Cunha anyway. Let me talk about that. Obviously, if you are, rest in peace to the Pope. I think a lot of people are upset about that in the chat. Let me talk about this, though. I wanted to talk about this. There we go. Yeah, let me talk to you about Cunha. So, look, I'm just getting... It's hard to talk about... I agree with ICAM as well. Full Sail was our only hope. It's hard to say all Serie A games have been postponed today, Mark, says Fabs. Yeah, well, it's big news, isn't it? It is big news. Solomon Grundy says, open heart surgery. I reckon, from what I saw yesterday, Cunha would come to Man United. Just watching him around the ground, interacting with Casemiro, interacting with Amorim, I think that he would come to Manchester United. I really, really do. But I also think that you've got to have the money to do it. And this is still something that we don't know about. I mean, I was joking last night that I'm buying the Amorim hoodie because, you know, I've said I'll buy the Amorim hoodie if we sign Osimhen. And still last night, there was talk of Osimhen agreeing a deal with Manchester United. Now, we discussed this yesterday morning. I think in relation to Osimhen, there's definitely stuff out there that he's agreed a deal with Man United. And I hope he has. But I'd say 99% sure he hasn't because we haven't got the money. Why would you sign for Man United in mid-April when they might not even be in Europe? Why would you sign for Man United in mid-April when they haven't got the money? And why would you sign for Man United in mid-April when you can literally go and have talks with most of the world, whether it be Saudi, MLS, European clubs? So it doesn't make any sense that that deal's been done, and I'm not about to get excited about it. But I think in relation to Cunha, Arsenal can't sign Williams, Zubimendi and the striker and Cunha. So maybe that's Arsenal out of the race. I don't see him going to City. I don't see him going to Liverpool. I've heard that Chelsea would like him, but I don't think Chelsea's situation is massively bigger than ours. We could both be in the Champions League next year. So I think Cunha is obviously a dream signing of mine, but I also think that he'd be a good fit for Manchester United. He's got experience, like Bruno, of being a big player in a poor team. And I think you learn a lot from that. It's like the Grealish effect at Villa, isn't it? I think when you're a big flair player in a team that's struggling, you learn a lot. And I think he would be a really good acquisition for Manchester United. But it comes back to the same thing, doesn't it? Oh, are Man United a better team under Amrim? You know, and all this nonsense. But ultimately, we will be where we are now next season if we mess this summer transfer window up. And we've already got people in the fan base going after Amrim when he's had no preseason and no signings. And it's very clearly on Sir Jim Ratcliffe that we're in this situation. If he's got elements of our fan base going after him already, in season two, I'll already write the script. No excuses now. He's had a transfer window. He's had a preseason and we're still losing games. Amrim out. Amrim out. He's a Portuguese fraud. Get rid of him. You know, I'll write the script for them. They won't need to do anything about that. But let me paint a picture because life isn't always about, you know, black and white and, you know, right and wrong. There's everything, you know, or green and red. There's amber and everything in between. If Ruben Amrim has a shit summer transfer window, which many of you have predicted, why should it be Amrim out next season when we're back where we are now? I mean, is it? It's almost like context doesn't exist in some brains. It's angry, vile abuse 24/7. There is no context. There is no understanding. You know, if you did that, then you're that. But I did this because of this. This happened because of that. Don't care. Don't care. You are that. And it's like, you know, some people commit a crime and there was a reason they did it, which therefore mitigates why they did the crime. No, you dig the crime, you're going to prison. And that's what I think some people in our fan base are like and in the media. And Amrim is sort of being convicted of everything that's wrong with Manchester United. because he's the manager. Just the same as Ten Hag was, just the same as Jose was, just the same as Ollie was, they get convicted for everything. When context is, they can't be responsible for everything. And next season, I'll tell you a little story. If we have a shit transfer window, we will be back where we are now and Amrin will get the sack. And there'll be a load of people saying, good, get rid of him, fraud, get rid of him, he's rubbish, he's made us worse, this, that and the other. Some of us will sit there and go, the team was shit when he came here and they've delivered him a load of shit, so the team's still shit. I don't blame the manager. But some people just can't move past the fact of tunnel vision. I've got to blame the manager. The manager's got to be responsible for everything. Onana might stay at Man United this summer. Onana might stay at the club this summer because Amrin wants to get rid of him, but he's got to prioritise. So effectively, I want to get rid of him. I want to get rid of Onana. Well, that makes four players you want. You can only have three. Okay, I'll keep Onana because the other people are priorities. You've still got a massive problem then, haven't you? You're still using people you don't want to use. That's context. That could be three or four losses in the Premier League. So you can't go after a manager and blame him for everything when he's not responsible for everything. In fact, he's probably only responsible for a very small percentage. This is about ownership. The owners set the tone. If you look at Chelsea, has Maresca or Potter or Pochettino gone out and spent £1.5 billion in 2 years? No. Todd Bowley did. So, and it's not necessarily gone as well as Chelsea fans want, but their owner did spend that money. Manchester United, and Amrin is basically saying this after the game yesterday, we need to spend £500 million as quick as we can. And rival fans will be here watching going, bro wants to spend another £500 million when they've spent £1 billion in the last year. Mate, if I need to spend £500 million on my house and £1 billion has been spent by throwing it on a bonfire, I still need to spend £500 million on my house. I'll never understand why, because Man United have wasted £1 billion in the last decade, we don't need to spend another £500 million. You know, people win the national lottery. They'll win like £10 million. 3 years later, they're on the front page of the Sun. I blew it all on Coke and cars. You know, I'm not talking about Coca-Cola. People waste money. We've wasted money. We may as well. Even Richard Arnold said, we've spent £1 billion in the last 10 years. I walk into Carrington and I don't know where we spent it. You and me too. So that team needs £500 million spending on it. I look at that Arsenal side. I look at that Liverpool side. I look at that Man City side. I look at Newcastle. I look at Aston Villa. And I go, yeah, if you want to be there, £500 million, like that. I don't even know if some people in our fan base understand that. But where's this £500 million coming from? Next season, what did I say? I said this before Wolves. If we win the Europa League, I think it could be bad. It's essential, but what I mean is, if we win the Europa League, we're back. We're in the Champions League, this, that and the other. Just because you're in the Champions League doesn't mean you're good enough to be in it. Just because you're in the Champions League and won the Europa League doesn't mean you didn't finish 15th in the Premier League this year. We are where we are. The Premier gauge of where you are is where you finish in the Premier League. Arsenal might win the Champions League. They can't win the Premier League. Like, they're the second best club in the Premier League, but they could still win the Champions League. Man United or Spurs might win the Europa League by finishing 15th or below. Next season in the Premier League, is anybody here going to put us in the top six? Because I'm not. But if we're not in the top six next year, Amrin, he's at fault for everything. He's at fault for everything. And I think that there's got to be some context, because we're flip-flopping from Thursday night, which was just epic, and then people want to pop the balloon of that on Sunday because we lost the game to a free kick against Wolves. There needs to be some stability at this football club, and there needs to be a consistent message of where it is. And the hilarious thing is as well, if you go into Old Trafford or the vast majority of the fan base, everyone backs Amrin, but there is this vocal movement that seems to want to pin it on him. And I don't, explain it to me. Yet now is the time. It doesn't matter who we buy in the summer, says Patrick Lynch. If we spend 200 million, it's the total spent and not the quality of the player that we used as a stick to beat Amrin with, when in actually it's Ineos making the decisions. Exactly, Patrick. I mean, look, Ten Hag made some mistakes, but apparently he spent 600 million quid. Off the top of my head, we could have saved 150 by not overpaying. So yeah, Ten Hag always got measured against £600 million, yet we paid double for Antony. You know, we massively overpaid on many players. So it wasn't £600 million that Ten Hag spent, was it? Ten Hag asked for players that were probably worth about 450, but it's 600, isn't it? The Times, Jonathan Norcraft and Sky Sports News' Gary Cotterill went on Sky and were discussing whether Amrim is the right man for Man United, says Rajaf. Look, I don't care what rivals say. I don't care what journalists say. They're not Man United fans. You know, stick your opinions up your arse, basically. You're not Man United people. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut your gob, right? I was talking about Chelsea on Saturday and I was like, I don't really see what the problem is at Chelsea. Chelsea fan messaged on That's Football Watch Along, listed it, and I went, fair play, it's your club. But I wasn't there going, sack Maresca, because it's not my club. I don't know it in and out. There's an obsession about Ruben Amorim at Manchester United. And you know what it's based on? 15 Premier League losses. That's all it is. I'll tell you a little quick story about people who want to have a conversation about whether Amorim's the right guy for Man United. Watch Man United play. We're definitely playing better than we did under Ten Hag. Secondly, what happened with Ralph Rangnick? We were shit. We were absolutely shit under Ralph Rangnick. And yet, 99% of our fan base would love Ralph Rangnick to still be here. Oh, but Ralph Rangnick was shit. Yeah. But he was the guy who walked in and went, open heart surgery. This team ain't good enough. And he was losing every bloody week. And the fans loved him because he was going, they're not good enough. I need players. I need players to come in. Bond says it's a results business. Is it a results business, is it? Okay. So why are the Glazers still in charge, mate? Why do we keep going off? I'm more than happy to have a conversation, and maybe some people will say I'm right and some people will say I'm wrong, but I know what I think. I don't blame Amorim for Man United's mess. And you're sat there saying it's a results business, so we should sack Amorim, should we? I mean, can I just repeat what you've just said? It's a results business, so Amorim should be sacked. That's what I'm reading from that. So you would sack Ten Hag at a cost of 10 million, 15 million quid. You would recruit Amorim at a cost of 10 to 15 million quid. So £30 million spent in November, and you would sack Amorim now, having not given him a pre-season or a transfer window. We truly are lost. And that's the incredible opinion of people, because they've got no patience. They've got no patience at all. They can't deal with losing to a free kick against Wolves, even though we're still in the Europa League, and we all know the summer is when Amorim's journey really starts. It's incredible how impatient some people are. And I tell you what, I don't even see what you're seeing anyway. You're sacking him on results. You're certainly not sacking him on style of play, system or anything like that, because it's definitely improving. He just needs the players. Unbeaten in Europe, still in the Europa League, and people are actually using their mouths to say, Amorim out. It's incredible to me. But let me just go through some of the criticisms from yesterday. I think it's a good point to bring it in. Standards. People keep talking about standards. A lot of people said to me in the chat yesterday, in the comments of the match reaction yesterday, you talk about standards for years and now your standards are in the bin. Now you're accepting losing to Wolves. I don't accept losing to Wolves. So I don't know what people are talking about, but I don't set the standards. You don't set the standards. And guess what? The manager doesn't set the standards. And we never will. The standards of this football club are too high for any manager. The standards of Manchester United are to compete and win Premier League titles whilst going deep into the Champions League. I think we'd all agree with that. Manchester United Football Club should be competing and winning the Premier League, and they should be going deep into the Champions League. That's the standards, yeah? I think we'd all agree on that, wouldn't we? So that's the standards we're talking about that I've apparently lowered and some of you have by backing this manager. So the standards of Man United are to win Premier Leagues and go deep in the Champions League. When has that happened in the last 12 years? My standards haven't changed. But when has that happened in the last 12 years? I don't set the standards, and the standards of Manchester United are too high for Ruben Amorim. The standards are set by the owners. We have our own standards, but we don't set them. If I was the owner of Man United, I would do an interview saying the standards are to win the Premier League and compete for the Champions League, and this is how we're going to do it. I wouldn't sit there talking about a new stadium and regeneration of Manchester. I wouldn't talk about debt and PSR because I would never have got into bed with the Glazers with debt anyway. So our owners don't set the standards straight away. They don't sit there talking about we want to win the Premier League and we want to win the Champions League. They're not talking in that language. They are getting violins out and they are going, we're in debt, we're in debt. We need money from private investment to build the stadium. We've got so much debt. It's FFP, it's PSR, you know, it's challenging times at the end of the day. You know, that's the standards of the football club. So people talk about, oh, losing to Wolves, 15 games, standards. You don't set the standards. Ruben Amorim doesn't set the standards. Jose Mourinho didn't set the standards. Jose Mourinho wanted to sell Anthony Martial. You're not allowed. So people who talk about standards, can we have a conversation about who actually sets the standards at Manchester United? I know what I expect of Man United. I expect us to win the league and fight for the Champions League. But we haven't done that for 12 years. The owners set the standards, not the manager. The manager can't set the standards of the football club. The manager can write a menu saying, for starters, it's prawn cocktail. For main, it's steak and chips. And for pudding, you know, I'm going to do a lovely pavlova, right? He goes to his owner and says, there's the menu. And he goes, well, we're not buying you that. We're not buying you that. You're not buying you that. Well, I can't. That's not. I've just set the menu. Well, it's not that, is it? It's bread and water. It's toast. And it's Angel Delight. You can't set the standards as the manager unless you're giving the ingredients to do it. You can set, you can have a vision, you can have a plan, and Jose had it. I'm sure Ollie had it. I'm sure Van Gaal had it. But they didn't achieve it because the owners messed up. So standards is really an interesting conversation because I don't set the standards. So don't come at me saying your standards are lower. They're not. I know what the standards are. I've lived what Man United standards are, but I'm a realist. I'm not a fantasist. I'm a realist. I can't sit here and say we should be winning the Premier League and the Champions League because we're not good enough. And we're not good enough because the people who set the standards are the owners. They always will set the standards. That's where we're at. So, you know, I find it interesting that after a game yesterday, some of the key takeaways from you, the people I listen to and I read your comments, is that the standards, you know, the standards are low when you're accepting a loss to Wolves. You know, it wasn't a reserve side. Well, it was a reserve side. We played 120 minutes on Thursday night. Half of that team didn't start. Those that did will have played on Thursday night. And also, Eriksen and Lindelof are like bloody playing with nine men. And we had two kids playing as well. So I don't recognise that as United's first team against the Wolves side, against a bad Wolves side, apparently. A bad Wolves side that's had a whole week off and won five games in a row. Only Newcastle and Villa have won five games in a row in the last month in the Premier League. So it wasn't a bad Wolves side. And we lost 1-0. We lost 1-0 as well. And, you know as well, it just brings me into something else. I was reading all the comments yesterday about standards and a bad Wolves side, and it wasn't a, you know the amount of people who said, do you know the amount of people who took offence at the fact that I said our reserves side lost to Wolves? I mean, that's the thing they're clinging on to. In a half an hour show talking about what's going wrong at Man United, all they've got is, it wasn't a reserve side, Mark. Look at the team at the end. Bruno was on the pitch. Did we play 120 minutes on Thursday night? Are some of our players in the red zone on fatigue and fitness? Did we pick Eriksen and Lindelof and did they play most of the game? Did we pick two kids? That's a reserve side for me. It's a tired reserve side, right? And we lost 1-0. To a very good free kick. And Wolves created nothing. And we should have scored three goals. Context. Context. Avram says, stop blaming me. I do invest in the club. Says Avram. Played well for 5 minutes in Europe and he's taking constant losses in the league because he only has one system. That's not a good manager, says Big Dog. But, you know, right, I'll throw it back to you then. What do you want to happen? Because that's just noise to me. We played well for 5 minutes in Europe. We're unbeaten in Europe. We're into the semi-finals in Europe. The constant losses in the Premier League are because we're shit. There's no manager that's going to get Man United playing better than they are unless you bring David Moyes in and you play part of the bus football and counter-attacking, and you'd be moaning as much as anybody. We could have better results. I know why we're losing in the Premier League. If you want my opinion on why we're losing in the Premier League, we could have better results. 100% we could be mid-table. We could be where Everton and Palace are. We could have another 8 points easily. We're never going to be in the top seven, so shut up. This team ain't going to be in the top seven. Maybe with a nosebleed, we could be eighth or ninth. I mean, do you think we're better than Bournemouth? I don't. So I think we could be, if everything went really, really well, this team could be ninth. Ooh, let's have a party. Let's have another bank holiday Monday. They're having a party in the street. We're ninth. This team, this squad, at its very best, could be ninth. You wouldn't be happy with that. We're not a top eight team. No way. So why are we down in 17th? Your standards. I get that, right? You know why we're down where we are? Because we've brought a manager in whose long-term vision is to compete with Arsenal and Liverpool, but hasn't got the players to do it. So we've got the manager with an exciting modern way of playing with a bunch of players that can't do it. And the results echo that. The only way to improve this squad, and I thought we wanted to get rid of these players. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I thought after the Lyon game, we didn't care about the Wolves game, but apparently we do. So maybe I'm wrong on this, because I've been labouring under the misapprehension that most of you want to get rid of a lot of these players, but apparently you don't. You want to get rid of the manager now. So if we're keeping these players and we're not building a new team with new players and a new system, which obviously we can't do until the summer. Anyway, if you want this team now to do better than this team that we've, the performances that we are, bring David Moyes in. David Moyes would start winning games with this team up to a ceiling of about ninth place, because that's the only system that these players would work in. Counter-attacking, part of the bus football. That would probably, it worked with Ollie, so it would probably work again. Bruno's worked in that system as well, so your best player's going to work in it. But you're all going to be moaning about the style of play. So we are where we are. The hilarious thing is, nobody's sweeping this under the carpet. We are shit. We're really bad. No one's pretending it's okay. No one's pretending 15 Premier League losses is okay. We are really bad. We're swimming in the sewers. But some of us can see the stars and a way out. Whereas some of you think that this is all it's going to be. I see the way out. I see the pathway out. But you've got to change the personnel in the team. We're exactly where we deserve to be in the Premier League. If you want to finish ninth, get David Moyes in. If you want to finish in the top four, you keep Amrim and you build a team that's good enough, because this team's not good enough. But you're going to need to use the P word, patience. And some people don't have it. And I didn't realise there was so many of those people in our fan base who on Thursday night are running around with their top off saying, I don't care about Wolves, play the reserves. Then you do that and lose 1-0 and people are going mad about it. I can't understand how emotions can go from pure elation to pure anger with no context in 3 days. I'm still happy about Thursday. I'm massively excited about Bilbao. We've got Bournemouth away on Sunday. Little clue. Going to get beat. Going to get beat on Sunday. What are we going to do on Monday? Talk about Roy Keane and Gary Neville talking about the system and getting rid of players again. And then we get a good result again in Bilbao. And people are like, oh, it's fine. It's Europa League or nothing. And that's all I think about. In the Premier League, if we don't get beat, great. If we do get beat, still about the Europa League. The summer is intriguing. Amrim is not the type of manager you bring in if you want short-term results. Look at what happened at his previous club, says Anthony. Exactly. It's almost like people haven't done their homework. You can't win with our fans, says Dan Davey. It's all about the Europa. We rotate and play some reserves and lose against Wolves. Fans get this manager gone, says Dan Davey. Yechi says, the manager talk baffles me. You've clearly not seen us play. There is so much improvement. Agree the result is not there, but no one can deny if this guy is not right, winning Europa will buy him. He is him, says Yechi. And also, just going back to the game last night, great to see lots of praise for Amas and Fredrickson. They totally deserve it. I mean, never put a foot wrong. Amas is already better than Luke Shaw. which some would say is quite easy because he's injured, but I think that was a brilliant, brilliant performance. But this is sometimes the problem that exists in football and around our football club. People, it was quite enlightening last night looking at the amount of people saying, sell Garnacho, get rid of Garnacho. And I already knew it, but sometimes it's not about the footballer. It's about the person. There are people in our fan base who just dislike the person to a point where they've never met them. They just dislike them. I had a conversation with an ex-player about 2 years ago, and off camera, they were going on about a certain current Man United player, and it was obvious they just didn't like them. And they'd never met them. They were really slagging them off. And I was like, well, it's just life, isn't it? Some people just take a dislike to somebody. And I think with Garnacho, he actually played well yesterday. I mean, people were saying, sell him, he's a load of shit. Sell him with Rasmus, he's a load of shit. And I was like, okay. He's literally taken on board the criticism of being selfish. He's set up 3 goals and Bruno Mount and Rasmus have missed. He should have had 2 assists, possibly 3. In which case, people would be saying, that's what we want. And it's like, some people are just so blinkered to progress. Some people are so blinkered to potential because they've made their mind up already. And a 20-year-old apparently is dusted, can't change. I worry about other Premier League teams getting stronger, says Scott. Not even talking about the top 6. If we don't win the Europa, struggle is real. Scott, if we don't win the Europa League and we finish in the top 8 next season, it'll be a miracle. Whoever the manager is. So how can it be the manager's fault? You know? I'm happy to say that. If we don't win the Europa League, we don't get top 8 next season. Because there's no money and the team ain't good enough. Look at the Premier League. So, you know, how can we blame the manager for that? Obviously, you will pay the price of bad results because the owners will shit themselves and realise everyone's looking at them and they'll sack him. But ultimately, you don't bring in them that... We had a team that was built to play 4-3-3 and we brought in a manager that doesn't play a 4-3-3 and we've not done any business yet. What do you think is the best approach for Rasmus? Drop or place, as Simply Red. It was interesting. Look, it was 2 things I would say about Rasmus, and I think I have the quote here. So it's a good question. Look, Ruben Amorim said this. We're honest with the fans. There's a lot missing from our team. There's a lot to do to improve the team. It will be like this until the end of the season, and then we'll have to do something. I mean, I wish I'd said that one at the start. You can't get more than that. You can't get more than that. And I'm okay with that because I think that's the reality. That's not about me dropping my standards. That's about the manager of the football club saying, we're shit. We know we're shit. And we can't do anything about it until the end of the season. Apart from try and win the Europa League. So all these people moaning. The manager has just said to you, there's a lot missing from our team. There's a lot to improve in the team. It will be like this until the end of the season, and then we'll do something. So he's not pretending, is it? It's obvious. On Rasmus, he says, the only way I know is to show the videos. He needs to score a goal. He will not score if he is out of the team. The only way I know is to work on him. He needs to score a goal and we will not score if he's out. So I tried to manage that during games. He needs to score one. That's all a striker needs. So when you ask me about Amorim and we talk about slow sports news from what's his name in the Manchester Evening News about United's priorities as a striker. I mean, I can't believe I'm waking up to headlines that Man United's priority is a striker. I mean, this was 2 years ago. We should have bought an experienced striker and we bought Rasmus at 20. We've had one striker for 2 years. It's incredible. We've had one striker for 2 years. Martial was injured for most of last season and Xerxes, not a striker. So We've had a 20, 21 and 22-year-old for the last 2 years as our only striker. And who does that? Unless you're Erling Haaland, which we couldn't afford, who does that? We should have brought an experienced striker in, and we need to bring an experienced striker in. Man United's priority is to bring a striker in. What does that mean for Rasmus? I don't know. It could mean selling him in the summer. It could mean using him as a backup. I don't know. But I think all those things benefit him, because another season as Man United's sole striker cannot be the solution. And I think we're all on the same page with that. We need two strikers. So you either sell Rasmus, bring an experienced striker in and someone like Liam Delap, which I don't think we can afford to do, or you keep him and you bring in an experienced striker. What you don't do is sell him and bring Liam Delap in, because then you're in the same position. So we need a striker. The profile of the striker is the only thing that people are interested in. Are we going to go cheap and young, or are we going to go experienced? And that's all that matters. Amrim's solution in the short term is to try and get Rasmus scoring goals, which is easier said than done, because we need to try and win the Europa League. But in the summer, we have to buy a striker. We have to. Even if you had Harry Kane up front, you'd still need to buy a striker, because you can't have one striker playing up front for 40, 50 games. So, yeah, we need to bring a striker in. And it's the profile of that striker that is the most important thing. Is there any way the owners can invest more, says Rajaf? Of course there is. They just don't want to. Dave says, no hate, but watch other wingers and then you'll realise that the guy's rubbish. If that is his best performance, then United is in big trouble. I don't know. I think you're talking about Garnacho. Mate, but again, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but there is no context to what you're saying. You're setting your standards too high. Again, you're setting your standards. I want to win the Premier League with Man United. Well, so do I, mate. But we're not. We don't set the standards. So you're going, watch other teams. What other teams am I watching? Am I watching Newcastle by any chance? Am I watching Bournemouth? Am I watching maybe Man City, maybe Chelsea? What teams are you making me watch that have got better wingers than us? Because I guarantee it ain't going to be Ipswich. And it ain't going to be, well, it's not going to be Leicester. And we're down there. And now you're talking about buying another winger. Well, how do I afford these wingers you're talking about as well? Because I thought we needed a striker, a goalkeeper, a midfielder, a number 10. And now you want a winger as well. Like, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you that we need better players. But where are we getting these players from? And it goes back to what I said before. Is it the player's fault? Is it the manager's fault? Or is it the people who set the standards? And what we do as a fan base is we go after the wrong people. We start moaning about Garnacho. We start moaning about Amrim. They don't set the standards. The standards are set by the owners. You're moaning at people who can't solve it. You might be right about Garnacho. You might be right in the long term about Amrim, but they don't set the standards of the football club. There is so much frustration in this fan base. And I'm telling you now, I've been doing this for 10 years and longer. Nobody can sustain pressure on the people that actually need it. It always drifts away. You'll get Glazer out protests. You'll get Sir Jim protests. And then 2 weeks later, you'll lose to Wolves and it'll be Amrim out. And they'll be sat there going, our work here is done. Because we can never sustain the blame on the people that matter. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we're still knocking Old Trafford down. We're still raising ticket prices. We're still sacking half the workforce. We're still talking about not having any money. We're still doing horrific things, but Amrim out. Garnacho's the break. Garnacho's the problem. Amrim out. The way this club's run is a disgrace. And there is just no sustained pressure on the people who actually set the standards. It's hilarious that people think that we can solve these problems by changing the manager or selling Garnacho. It won't solve it. Why don't you ever blame Erik ten Hag for the squad he left, says Calvin? Because last time I checked, Calvin, ten Hag's been sacked a long time ago. What's the point? He obviously was to blame. He got the sack. So why would I sit here talking about the past? I'm not interested in the past. I'm interested in the present. Ten Hag's not here anymore, mate. He got the sack, so he must be to blame. Whether I think he was to blame or not, what's the point in going back talking about Ten Hag? I'd rather talk about Sir Jim Radcliffe and Joel Glazer, to be honest, because they're here setting the standards of this football club, causing this chaos. Amrim is not the title. Done that from Anthony. Thank you very much for that. Just catching up on some of your comments. Chelsea videos on the channel, mate, Alroy. I know you think you're being clever, but the Chelsea video is on the channel and it explains what happened, so you're not being clever. What do you think the best approach for Rasmus, drop or play? We've done that from Simply Red. I think goalkeeper is a bigger urgency to sort out this summer than striker. Woo! Makesh has been a member for 18 months. He says a goalkeeper is a bigger urgency to sort out than the striker. I don't think it is, because we've got Bienda and Anana. We've only got Rasmus. And if Rasmus is not good enough, we've only got Rasmus. So we need a striker. Striker's the priority for me. I think the unhappiness is towards the owners, because personally, I can't see any way back for this club, even if we win the Europa League, says Julian. And mate, I agree with you. I think we have to win the Europa League, because it gives us money and it gives us a pathway into the Champions League. But I'd be terrified if people think that we're okay. I think if we're in the Champions League next year, I don't see us finishing in the top eight in the Prem, and I don't see us winning the Champions League. So I wouldn't expect to be in Europe next year either. So it would be a short-term... Look, basically, I'll explain it like this. If we don't win the Europa League, I think we're staring into oblivion, obviously. How do you come back from that? If we do win the Europa League and we get in the Champions League, it's not really about being in the Champions League next year. It's about spending the money in the summer to bring better players in to get back into Europe this time next year. The Champions League, to me, is a bonus. It's the money that we need to buy better players this summer so that we can hopefully... I mean, we're going to have to go. I don't think people understand this. Next season, for us to be back in Europe... we're going to have to do, bloody hell, 10 to 15 Premier League places. If we finish 17th, then we need to do, I mean, I don't want to be in the Conference League, 11 or 12 places just to get in the Europa. That's a lot. That's a lot. 11 places. That's 11 clubs. Answer me this. Are we in a false position in the league? Are we really sixth or seventh and we've just been unlucky? Or are we where we deserve to be and we've somehow in one summer got to leapfrog 12 teams? It can be done, but bloody hell, it's not easy, is it? Shah says, it looks very evident that Kuna wants to come to Man United, but I don't see Glinios getting him. I agree. I genuinely think Cunha to Man United is doable. I think the biggest barrier is going to be the owners, really. Matt McCord says, any idiots that got over... Oh, so I think I'm going to be an idiot here. I've just got a funny feeling. A couple of good ones here. Matt McCord says, any idiot that got overhyped, including Mark, over beating Leon is a fool. I personally didn't because I know we're shit, but I still think it's okay to be so shit in the league. And I still don't think it's okay. So apparently you're an idiot if you got overhyped for your team that you love coming back from 4-2 down with 5 minutes to go in a Europa League tie. Okay, no, I don't think they're idiots, Matt. I think that's just being in love with your football team and getting lost in the moment. I think what you are is an analytical fan with very little emotion. And that's fine. You're not an idiot for that. You're just lacking emotion and an analyst fan. We're football fans who love the sport, love the club, who got lost in the moment in a memory that will last probably the rest of our lives, because that doesn't happen very often. PL says, you're talking shit, Mark. Even an average manager with that quality of player could get them in the top six. Mate, I'm not even going to reply to that. Okay, so an average manager. So let's say an average manager is, David Moyes could get top six with this Premier League team. Lovely. Okay. It's all about opinion. I'm not even going to come back on it. Yeah, if you're an idiot, smash a like on the button, by the way. If you overreacted to winning on Thursday, smash a like on the video. Apparently, you're an idiot. Andy Atherton says, from fans saying Ten Hag would be doing far better in the league than Ruben are probably correct, but they have very... Ten Hag would... No, Andy, I I completely agree that we'd be in a better position if we kept Ten Hag. There's nothing wrong with that. 100%. We actually said this about 6 weeks ago. This is why the blame is with Sir Jim. We should have kept Ten Hag until the summer. Because by sacking Ten Hag and bringing Amorim in, what have we done? We've burnt Amorim. We've burnt him out. We've put a load of pressure on him. And he's got to win the Europa League. Otherwise, we're in the shit, right? If we kept Ten Hag, I guarantee we'd still be in the Europa League semi-final. And we'd probably be a little bit higher in the league, probably 10th. So you'd still be sacking him in the summer, but you'd be bringing Amorim in. We should have kept Ten Hag till the summer. Yeah, 100%. But that's why this ownership are really bad at what they do, because they're not football people. Like, we've written the season off anyway with Amorim. What's happened? We've written the season off, instead, apart from the Europa. If we'd kept Ten Hag, we'd be higher in the league. We wouldn't be in the top eight. We'd be higher in the league, and we'd probably still be in a semi-final of the Europa League. And we might still be in the FA Cup, because he might not have lost to Fulham. So we should have kept Ten Hag till the summer. It would have been the logical thing to do, because it's suicide to bring a manager in with that style of play with this team without pre-season and a transfer window. They made a big error. Now, but honestly, most of you wanted it. Most of you were Ten Hag out. So did they get it wrong? In hindsight, probably. But let's not forget the media, the ex-players, and the vast majority of our fan base wanted Ten Hag sacked when he got sacked. So this is what happens, isn't it? We're all guilty. We've all got our role to play. But in hindsight, yes. Amorim sort of hinted at it himself. I wanted the job in the summer, and they said now. We should have kept Ten Hag till the summer. Does Cunha's bad attitude and red cards worry you, says Ryan? Not at all. Nathan says, thanks everything you do on the platform. Sat on my arse for 8 weeks with a fractured ankle. You pass the time easier. Rest up, mate. Hope you're getting well soon. Mrs. Stone says, same guys will moan if a first team player got a knock against Wolves and blame Amorim for it. Mate, you know what, Mrs. Stone? Can I just say this? We're getting towards the end of the show. No word of a lie. God's honour truth. Yesterday, one of the comments in the match reaction video, go and find it, was, why are we resting players? Momentum's the most important thing. If we'd played our strong team against Wolves, we clearly would have beat them and we'd have better momentum going into Athletic Club. Same person when we start Bruno or Delo or Maguire or Casemiro and they're out for the season goes, why are we playing a strong team in a meaningless game? You literally can't win. You can't win, can you? Talk Sports. Andy Felterbusch. Never heard of them, GP. And it's not Talk Sport, it's Talk Shit. Mark, I can see us going for FA Cup next season to get Europa again, says Alex. Yep. Good or bad, United never lost hope. Kings of Leon, says Omar. I've just seen Turkish, Italian and Nigerian journalists saying United agreed personal terms with Osman. Is there much truth in this? I hope there is, but I don't see why. Yechi said he did a super chat. I thought I'd read it, mate. He might have done more than one. I will find it. I don't read them all straight away. Don't stress. I do get through them all. It's hard on a watch-along, but I do get through them all in normal shows. Anthony Martial is not even a proper striker. He's a left-winger and was converted. No instincts, says Sean. This shows how cheap we've been for so long. I don't think our younger fans truly understand the meaning of hated, adored, never ignored. Give Amorim time. I'm convinced he's the right man, says Andy. Look, the most important thing is that fans in the ground, home and away, are 100% behind Amorim. And I'm not saying that they're better than you and me, but they are the visible voice of the fan base and they are not being influenced by the reactions of some people online. So Jim said that he would make unpopular decisions. It's early days, but if he has had a bad third season, why would they sack him, even if the fans want him out, says John Cena. The problem is, even by playing him, he doesn't score, says Class of 99. Is there any way they had done that one? Right, Yechi, I'm convinced I've read it. The manager talk baffles me. You've clearly not seen us play. There is so much improvement. Agree the result is not there, but no one can deny me winning Europa will buy him more time. He is him. Yechi, I've definitely read that one. No, we read it. Yeah, we read it, mate. Sean says, our season is like a doctor's analogy. Curing the body from cancer, we'll have to see pain first before anything gets better. Some ways it's good Amrim came now because Rashi would still be in United if he hadn't. Yeah. But it's all about patience, isn't it? And some people don't have it and some people do. Look, I'm back with you at 2 o'clock. It's a bank holiday Monday in the UK, so Beth's off today. Most people are. Hope you're having a great day. We will have a 2 o'clock show for you. And we will have a, hold on. Like Amrim says, winning games buys him time. I think goalkeeper should be a priority. A good goalkeeper can save games, hence buy time for manager, and a bad keeper, which we have seen, makes the entire thing look bad. Just my opinion. So Yechi says a goalkeeper. Look, Amrim wants a goalkeeper, Yechi. I want a goalkeeper. I'm sure we all want a goalkeeper. All I'm saying is if it's a goalkeeper or a striker, I go with a striker. And unfortunately, what happens at Manchester United is that he will have to make choices. And people don't realise this. They think the manager is going, I don't want a goalkeeper. If he doesn't get a goalkeeper, it's because the club are saying we can't afford one. But he will be blamed for that. You know? Ten Hag quite rightly got the blame for getting rid of De Gea for free to spend £50 million on Onana. But if Amrim keeps Onana, it won't be because he wants to, it's because he has to. And that context sometimes gets forgotten by a naive media who feed it through to the masses. I think you're better than that. In fact, I know it. Ride with Civic. Thanks for your super chat. Great show this morning. Thanks everyone for watching. Really good to get both sides of the argument. And I'm sure we can continue that at 2. 7 o'clock show tonight because I've got a watch along on That's Football. We're doing the Spurs game. Got to start watching a bit of Spurs in the hope that we're going to play them. I will speak to you in a bit. Take care. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe. And I'll see you all in a bit.